This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Do you know what went down at the Viper Room the night River Phoenix died? Are you aware of how Steve McQueen escaped death at the hands of the Manson family? But what about the real-life brutal murder that inspired David Lynch's Twin Peaks? These stories and more are told in the Hollywoodland podcast, where true crime and Tinseltown collide. Follow and listen to Hollywoodland wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, which of the, if any, rather, of the now former Texans after this offseason is largely in the books? Well, I mean, when it comes to the moves, obviously there's still opportunities to do anything at any given time, which, speaking of, people are pointing to the idea of the text line where they go, the Panthers released Clowney. Could you have a reunion? You
answer that's a no.
Like, is it any room?
That would be a no.
Like, just throwing him in a pass rushing room? Mm-hmm. We're just like, hey, you are another one in here. I can't see that.
Yeah, I don't see it.
That would not happen.
I also don't know exactly what, that he would want to be in that deep of a pass rushing circumstance, but I mean that's right, not
maybe, but I don't think it's going to happen.
Yeah, unless he want to take like a small
role, yeah,
yeah, deal. Maybe at that point, it's a family move. Mm-hmm. My family want to go back to Houston.
Yeah,
well, it might be a small family move. He said that the Panthers play was a family move to go home, right? Like to be in that state.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I say a family move, thinking like, oh, maybe his family want to go back to Houston because they've been here for a little bit. So
I'll say again, no.
That's stretching right there.
Yeah, I was like, no. I think you are pretty damn good when it comes to pass rush. But anyways, you've made plenty of moves, and some people have left this team. Are you do you envision a situation in which you'll miss some of these guys? And if so, who do you think you would miss the most? Who do you think this Texas team will miss the most as they're moving into the 2025 season?
Let's also crowdsource this a little bit, because
713-572-4610.
Yeah, like, I loved everything. I it's hard to complain about much of anything that they've done this offseason. You know, even
hard to complain.
You could complain about a couple things. But,
there we go. I just wanted to make sure that you had it in there.
But it's still hard to complain. But I started thinking, okay, what about 6 weeks, 10 weeks into the year? Do you think we're going to miss any of these cats that they moved on from? Let me give you a couple of names, and I want to get your reaction.
There was no one name that came in immediately on the YouTube page, by the way.
Laramie Tunsil.
John Weeks was the first one that came in.
I think it's a possibility.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. All it takes is one bad snap.
One
bad snap, and we're going to be sitting here like, man.
They brought in two dudes, one street free agent, undrafted, and Addington, whatever his name is.
You made him Paddington
Bear. I made him a bear.
That's a wild name.
But honestly, if there was going to be, if you were going to be confused with some animated character, Paddington's a pretty good one. Yeah. Like, Paddington is universally beloved, so that's not going to be a problem. But no, it's Tucker Addington that you're thinking of. And then Austin Brinkman is the undrafted free agent that they brought in as well.
Don't you feel it that John Weeks is one of the possibilities you could miss?
It is, but I think that probably speaks more to the idea that I don't know how much I'm going to miss some of these other cats. Because also, look, how much do you actually think about your long snapper? And I say that with all due respect to a man who was flawless in his time here, John Weeks. Like, obviously, salute to him in San Francisco. Hope that he continues to do well. And yes, there are some instances, relatively rare, in fact, pretty damn rare, where you'll see a long snapper put the ball too high and now you're missing extra points or what have you, or field goals. But I'm not all that concerned about that. Maybe this is just me being being callous or being flippant about this and not thinking about the importance of the long snapper. And that's fair. I'll wear that if I have to. But I recognize what he brings. I just don't know that I'll get to a place where I'm like, damn, that really stinks. Well, at least on the football field.
Yeah, I think it could affect, especially if it's like field goals, if Kaimi is, you know, I don't want to say he's struggling, but if if the snap is not right.
Even low, it bounces in.
Yeah, like
this is a big field goal.
See, I told you on the break, I felt like we've been a little spoiled mm-hmm. over the years. And we haven't went through anything like that in a long time.
Yeah.
So I think something small like that, we could be like, oh, man, like this snapper is really struggling out here.
Well, something even smaller is just the pace at which the ball gets to the punter, you know, or the kick, the holder. And that's not something that we can, you know, immediately say, well, that was a slow snap. But, you know, they have the advanced analytics. They have the data, the stopwatch, if you will, on every one of these snaps. If it's just a tiny bit slow and something gets blocked,
yeah,
that's a I miss John Weeks moment because he was quick with that
and
snap.
The thing is, we might not mention it. We might blame it on other people. Right. But after a while, you might be like, man, he the ball ain't really get there as fast as it should, or it was a little bit high, or it was a little bit low.
Okay, all right. So there's a strong case that you guys are making for John Weeks. Who else do you have? Because I can immediately tell you some of the people that it won't be. And I say this with all due respect for the things that they have brought to this team. It's not going to be an offensive lineman when it comes to – it's not going to be Kenyon Green, especially because – I think the places,
even if he's good in Philly, like I don't think we'd be
because,
like,
because I think if he's good in Philly, you can probably point directly to Stoutland and go, well, yes, this is a place where they were able to rehabilitate him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we probably blame the coaching on that.
That's where I'm going with it.
Yeah,
so there's that, and then Shaq Mason.
You're not going to miss Shaq Mason,
and I appreciate what he brought, but you saw the slowdown.
Yeah,
and I don't think there's going to be a place where I go, damn, if Shaq Mason was in that place,
no.
Because. Yes, with Kenyon Green and Shaq Mason and the offensive line in general last year, there was a lot of stuff that you could very reasonably link back to Bobby Slowick and the mm-hmm. scheme that they had and the miscommunications that they had, which clearly had to have happened by not, you know, having the right implementation or what have you. But there was also some stuff where dudes just got flat out beat. And Shaq Mason was very
he
much
was
one of
those.
Yeah. Kenyon Green was very much another one.
No, Kenyon Green absolutely was. Here's where I would just toss something in here with Kenyon Green.
Please.
If he becomes a starter. In Philadelphia, starts 15, 16, 17 games, whatever it is. That's not I miss him, but I think it's a reflection on this team.
I agree with that.
You know, I think fans would not say, oh, I miss Kenyon Green, but the conversation would be, what are we doing with our linemen? You know, especially if this lineman is pedestrian, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. I hear you on that. Mm-hmm. So I think those ones I'm not going to be in that space.
Like, what about Laramie though? That's an interesting one to me.
That's the one I was thinking about.
That was my answer out the box.
Yeah.
I think that was my answer out the box. However, there's another one that's popped up on one of these apparatuses that we have where people can get involved with the program that I'll bring up. But no, absolutely Laramie Tunsil Tunsil was one of those, or was the one for me, because yes, I get it. The text that came in earlier that said we're going to miss Laramie Tunsil and all them false starts. I get it. Mm-hmm. That was something that was there that admittedly got better over time. He's still a great pass blocker. Like, he's still a great pass blocker with a offensive line that has some dudes. That I do wonder how the pass block ultimately goes, including Cam Robinson specifically, who's stepping in for him. I always remember that Nate Tice of Yahoo Sports, when the Texans made that signing, tweeted out something that got me going, huh. Which was that Cam Robinson allowed the highest one-on-one pressure rate amongst all tackles last year once he became the starter in Minnesota.
Yeah.
Now, of course, that does erase his time in Jacksonville, which I don't think he was bad, but he did look real bad in Minnesota, his most recent stop, and you're signing him up to be that guy on the left side who was going to have one-on-one instances. And you know who was pretty good in one-on-one instances blocking? Laramie Tunsil.
Yeah. No, I have to believe that there are people in that building, as much as they tried their best to bring in adequate, hopefully the unit, all five parts will, work in unison, as they like to say, and it'll be a good offensive line. Hopefully that's the case. But I have to believe there are people in that building that at some level they're going, that was a top three pass blocker.
Absolutely.
That was like, we hated the false starts, hated some of the things he did. We hated the effect maybe, and I'm speculating, on the room, the offensive line room. But when it came to pass blocking, he was top three in the NFL. There's got to be a level of, we might miss that.
Yeah, especially like seeing all the courts and all that stuff he kind of go through, we got to deal with.
Yeah.
He was still protecting CJ, man.
Yeah.
So I think it would hurt even more if you see him in Washington doing this thing, probably trying to get another contract.
Yeah.
But doing this thing, it's like, man, we in week 10 and CJ
still running.
Yeah. Maybe Cam do a good job, but yeah. When if it's a thing where they just shuffling through left tackles, and then man.
That's the question. Like, do you think there's a situation down the road where you'll miss any of the guys? The one that is interesting to me is Stephon Diggs.
Agreed.
I don't know if there's a scenario. Well, there is going to be a scenario that you could miss him, but Stephon Diggs, healthy, was pretty dang good here. And you got a couple of rookies that you have high hopes on. And, you know, is that going to work? You know, could you see, again, 5-10 weeks into the season where it's like, ooh, Stephon sure could have helped this squad?
I mean, it's possible, mm-hmm. but I feel good about the idea that you have a lot of talent here. But yeah, having more of an experienced guy that is great about just showing to the quarterback, mm-hmm. and being a little bit of a security blanket.
Yeah.
Right? I think that the quarterbacks often need that. Now, this is going to be a place where C.J. Stroud, as he's growing into that fullness of being one of the better quarterbacks in this league, maybe there's less of a need for a particular security blanket, and maybe, mm-hmm. you know, he's in that place where he'll find that, whether it's getting it to his running back or, you know, the connection with his tight end, whether it's Dalton or Cade, will continue to be that for him. But it did feel like he had a nice rapport with mm-hmm. with
they were boys, man,
with Stephon Diggs, yeah. who had taken over a role that felt like he had mm-hmm. with Tank Dell the year prior. So I'm interested to see who he develops that with. I'm sure that he'll be able to, but I could see an instance where you go, okay, that comfort and that know-how that Stephon Diggs had is not there. But I think that's part of why it was important to have a Christian Kirk, who has a level of experience as well, who comes in.
Yeah, because you know, obviously Higgins and Noel, you're feeling good about them, at least at this point. But after that, it's Nico and Christian Kirk.
So the name that came up on the text line, or mm-hmm. the YouTube page rather, and I found it very interesting. They said outside of Weeks, this is Isai on the YouTube page, Case Keenum.
Hmm.
Right, and obviously Case Keenum did not touch the field last year. In fact, he was injured all of last year. But one of the roles that he serves in that locker room and as an advocate for CJ was huge.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I think we're starting to see that CJ maybe was not as heard as ultimately he probably would have wanted to be. And I think that we're seeing already that he's going to have more of a role. But I do kind of like the idea of having that big bro in that room to also keep giving him that game.
Yeah.
And obviously Case isn't going to be here this year. And I mean, that's one of those things that's a little bit more intangible that we can't see,
that's
but
it.
I do
that's
think
the
it
intangible.
Matters.
No, that's where I was going, because as much as, you know, CJ has this amazing, you know, relationship with Gerard Johnson, I think that's going to help. As much as the new coordinator, Nick Cayley, you know, I'm sure, you know, is prioritizing building that with CJ Stroud. It's different when it's another player in the room. Like in the locker room, coaches aren't in there all the time. To have, you know, Case Keenum as that sounding board, maybe CJ Stroud is kind of past needing that at this point.
It's possible,
you know,
it is.
But he was valuable. There's no question.
All right. So the other ones that have come in. Well, this is a not. They said not Chris Boyd, which fair. I was tired of seeing them yellow flags on special teams. Like, hey man, come on, lock in. Mm-hmm. Also, I just love the depth that they've added secondary wise to this point. But somebody said on the real, I'm gonna miss Tank. Does Tank count? Tank Dell, who's likely not gonna play during the season. I can't say for certain, right?
Well, I don't mind that.
You would count that one?
Yeah, I would count that.
Are there any other ones that are possibilities in here that we did not talk about?
Well, none of them were any good to begin with that I could see that have left. But it is interesting with Tunsil, just because as much as we all gave, including myself, such a hard time, one thing he did, man. One thing he did was protect that backside.
And from the 832, the question of the offseason, really. I've seen multiple of those kind of, what is the question, one question remaining for this team post-draft, and everyone for the Texans is just, how is this line going to come together? Yeah. Is it going to be better than last year? And so for the 832, do you think that some of the pieces of this new offensive line will be better than the old talent?
Some of the pieces will be better than the old talent. And, you know, I'm talking about left tackle. I just feel the sheer numbers.
You say that with a level of certainty.
I do. I mean, I think the sheer numbers and the new coach and the new system and the new way to block, there are going to be some good fits there, you know, I feel. Now, I don't know if that means the whole line, if it's going to be an upgrade or not, but, yeah, I think there's some guys that can get it done.
And that's a fair point, 832. Nobody said Robert Woods. here.
I actually thought about him.
I thought about that too. I miss seeing him around. I feel like he's been around long enough now.
Mm-hmm.
We were like, dang, Robert Woods ain't here.
Yeah.
I just, last year it didn't feel like he made a significant impact even when you needed him.
Mm-hmm. Nah, he didn't.
Mm-hmm.
Do you feel like going into this that the wide receiver room has more guys that can make an impact? And it might be wild to say that because, I mean, two of the guys that might be in there are two of the guys that were there that weren't like super impactful when you talk about Mechie. Hutchinson, I guess, was more impactful in some ways. Berrios, who I don't know if he's even like really and truly a wide receiver for you. He might just kind of be a return type guy. Justin Watson. We'll be interested to see what that looks like.
Mm-hmm.
And then you got a couple of rookies in there that I don't know that you can guarantee what their impact is going to be. I think that I like the idea of what the impact could be.
Yeah.
But how do you feel about that compared? Because last year we came
into
camp.
How'd you put it? That could make be better?
Be more impactful comparatively.
Yeah, I think if you say they're going to be more impactful, I think you're more optimistic than realistic. You know, you have to wait to see what these guys. We don't know anything about Higgins and Noel.
I mean, we know some things, but...
No, in terms of like at this level, how they're going to play, you know, et cetera. Christian Kirk and Nico, sure. I feel very good about that. I mean, I wouldn't have a lot of confidence in these other guys until I see it, you know?
I do feel like they'll be more impactful also, and this is where I come back to the idea of I don't know what the scheme is going to be, but it does feel like it'll be more considerate towards what CJ likes and the feel that he can determine. And I think just in general, when you come up to the line and you can determine what the defense is doing and audible and situate things better, that'll give guys better opportunities to get separation and get the ball. And one of the other guys we did not mention from the 8-3-2, Eric Murray. I'll be happy with CJ Gardner-Johnson and Jimmy
Ward. That.
I will absolutely take that.
Yeah, he overstayed his welcome.
And I was one of the people that tried to be nice to Eric Murray last year. But best of luck to you and Jacksonville,
we're good.
Brother. Best of luck to you there. All right, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Appreciate you hanging out with us. So apparently we now have a name of the new Pope.
All right.
Shout out to Mr. Dominique Mumberti. I'm not familiar. I will be familiarizing myself in the break, just because I like current events.
Yeah.
But while I do that, coming up next, let's get into our lunchtime confessions as we always do in this time.